The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On today's episode, I'll be running down my top five female singers of all time. Ladies, Colin will review the top 10 worst horror movies, and we'll be discussing some major changes coming. It's a special time. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
And I'm Sean Holmes.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to episode 35 of Boldly Going Nowhere. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
And I'm Sean Holmes.
And this is the podcast where we like to make lists. Lists are cool.
Just like Doctor Who said, fezzes are cool. Lists apparently are
cool. You guys
are
the cool kids with the list. I want a list.
Yeah, it's Listomania.
I feel a little jealous.
That's a song by the band Phoenix.
Well, you know what? That's something you should think about for future.
Listomania.
Yeah. We'll discuss that later in the show.
Yeah.
Yes. So, today I'm going to talk about top five, and there's usually a sound effect that goes right here.
Hey, top five songs about death. Allura's Dad tribute list.
So, today, continuing from last week, which was my top five male singers of all time, it would only be fair to show some love to the fairer sex and talk about my top five favorite female singers.
So would you say that this one's for the ladies?
I might, but you just said it, so I don't have to. Now, this one was a little tougher for me, actually.
Really?
Probably because I'm a dude. So, you know, I listen, like, it's easier to judge a singer who's the same gender. Because you're like, I know what a guy sounds like. That makes no sense. But the point is, it was like
maybe for you.
Well, maybe, okay, I put it the wrong way. Maybe it's because when you're a dude, you tend to listen to more
dudes.
Artists who are dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just natural. You like females probably listen to more females.
Right. Now, I will admit that, but it's also not going to, I mean, unless I'm actually dating the singer, I don't think it's really going to change my opinion of their music. Like, I'll listen to Lady Gaga, and I'm like, oh, she sucks.
Yeah.
It's not going to change simply because she has, you know, 2X chromosomes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll start out at, well, I'll start with a couple of the honorable mentions. So I talked about my criteria for male singers was a little different because I like guys with interesting sounding voices. They're a little out there or less traditionally good. Not the same with the female singers. So the ones I went with are ones that I think have really nice, like, beautiful voices, have some range, who can really, one common thing is that these are ladies who can really hit the high notes too.
Yeah, see, the problem is it's sort of that situation you were talking about just now. It's you know, with a dude, you're willing to listen to a lot more guy singers, so you hear that dissonance, that change in pitch, you know, that off tone, you don't really notice it at first.
Yeah.
But with women, it's kind of different. Like Courtney Love.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. That's actually I want to go on a very short tangent here, but it's related to this, and I think it's an interesting thing. So, when I took this class at UMBC called Radio and American Culture, one of the things we talked about was, you know, back in the days of old radio, when they actually had the radio serials.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, there were stories and,
yeah,
like soap operas on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that became very apparent is that female voices are much more emotionally charged than male voices, and they have a much more dramatic effect on the listener.
Well, that's because females are more emotionally charged than males.
Right.
True.
That's not even me being sexist. This is a proven fact.
Right.
Yeah.
That they naturally are. But what's interesting is that the effect they have on the listener is also a lot more dramatic. So people, women's voices who are very, like, when we get panicked or excited or extremely emotional, it makes the listener very uncomfortable. And that's just, I mean, one of many, many reasons why the victims in like the like crime or horror serials were always women, besides just the whole sexist thing.
Well, yeah,
that women are victims, but also it was the because 30s. What do you want? Like a woman screaming or a woman getting uncomfortable is very unnerving for the listener.
Yeah, it's immediate. It just sets off that tick in your brain, like, oh wait, shit's going down.
Yeah, so that's why in this case I didn't. Maybe it's a little unfair, but women who like the female counterparts to the male singers with the odd or interesting voices don't really work as well for me. So, for example, one of the ones you mentioned as a possibility, your suggestion, Colin, was Grace Slick from Jefferson Rabbit.
No, Jefferson Airplane.
Sorry, I was thinking White Rabbit
is the song.
Singing White Rabbit. Yeah, Jefferson Airplane.
From White Airplane.
And I thought about that, and then I realized, yeah, I wouldn't say is one of the more traditional voices. She's kind of like, her voice is very like,
her voice warbling. Is very unique.
Yeah, and so I think it's great, but I don't like it as much as some of the other ones. So,
that's fair enough.
Some of the honorable mentions I had, Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth.
Oh yeah,
I think she's good, but I mean, the vocals aren't as much a part of Sonic Youth songs. Like, they're not as huge a part. So, Stevie Nicks, just because Landslide, I mean, it's an amazing song.
It brought me down, man.
Well, you know?
I took my love.
My reflection in the snow-covered hills.
But that Landslide brought me down.
Damn, that Landslide is always bringing me down.
Snow-covered hills, Landslide brought me down.
I love that song.
And then the other honorable mention, Shirley Manson, who is the singer of Garbage.
All right.
Yeah. I also
any
Scottish.
Relation to Grouch?
But no. Tish. Rimshot here.
Go back in your corner, please. So that being said, on to my actual top five.
Okay.
At number five, Karen O from the band Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Listen to the song Maps. I actually just get the entire album Fever to Tell is one of the best indie rock albums that has been released in the last 10 years. Yeah, but especially Maps. I really love that song.
Yeah.
Number four. Might get some flack for this one, maybe some criticism, but honestly, I love Adele. I know she's super mainstream, super played out, but honestly, every time Rolling in the Deep comes on, I have to listen to it. I mean, it's just, she's so powerful.
Well, I mean, think about it. I mean, one of my favorite female singers is Grace Slick. I mean, you know how many times they overplay Jefferson Airplane on a classic rock station?
Yeah.
You can't escape it.
You can't escape it. Oh, along with that and, you know, Blinded by the Light, ripped off like a douche. But it...
Revved up like a douche.
Washed out like a douche.
It's the actual lyrics.
another woman in the night.
Did you say washed out like a douche?
Washed out like a douche.
That's gross.
Another woman in the night.
That's gross, dude.
This is why we keep him in the corner.
Seriously.
In the dunce cap.
Put your dunce cap on and go back to your slate. Pay attention.
Anyway. All right, so number three.
I'm sorry, you saw Adele.
Okay, my bad.
I mean, Adele can, like, she's got some lungs on her.
Dude, you got Adele.
God damn it, Sean. Why do we let you on the show, besides the fact that you have all this amazing equipment, and we basically can't do the
show
puns.
Without you? It's puns, basically. We let him get a minute or two in.
Turbo puns.
You're going to give me an aneurysm or something.
Anyway, no, yeah, I agree with you. Adele's got a great set of pipes.
She really does.
I'm getting frustrated.
her voice has just the quality of it. She knows how to release notes, attack notes, and it just...
She's like a white Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, without the oppression or anything, but I think it works. Yeah, she.
Wait, Adele's white?
Adele's white.
Were you joking or did?
Are you serious?
I've only heard her voice, dude. No, I'm saying, no, that's actually like, there's probably plenty of people who don't realize that she's not black. Like, if you've only heard the song...
I've only heard her voice.
It sounds good. She must be black.
That's what I'm saying. That's not...
Well, like for instance, you listen to Rick Astley, you listen to the Rick Wall song.
Well, obviously.
Well, yeah, but
right,
see,
that's a dude
thing.
Who does not sound look like what he
or
sounds.
You
li-
exactly. Or the reverse of that, you listen to Hootie and the Blowfish.
You don't... Yeah, you think Hootie is, you know, this big white dude, and he ends up being a very tiny black man.
And you listen to Rick Astley, you think it's a big black man, and it's this white guy.
Little ginger no dude.
Ginger guy. Love. Do you think I look like you know Conan O'Brien?
So do I.
Anyway.
I'm not going to Rickroll you guys. But number three.
Yes.
Now, Colin disagreed with me on this one, but that's why this is my list and not his. But I say Regina Spektor.
Not bad. Not
what's,
bad.
What's your opinion on Regina Spektor?
Who is she?
Okay, that's your opinion. She's she's a you know singer songwriter.
I'm a tune
type.
Man. I'm a tune man. You give me tunes.
The one song that I know really well from her is called Samson, but unless you heard it, like it's probably not going to ring any bells to you.
Colin's holding a Samson mic.
Well, see, to be perfectly honest, the reason he mentioned that is because when we were going over the lists, you know, when we were prepping our lists,
I was playing that song.
He was playing that song. I was right. Like, this sounds like Alicia Keys Light. It's pretty
Diet Alicia Keys. Diet Alicia Keys.
I'm just saying, it sounds like the white, number.
Alicia Keys, but fewer calories. Yeah, it's a fewer calorie version. It's light.
Well, I mean, it's basically just one of those clone. Basically, someone took like the Photoshop tool, but with voice.
With voice.
The Photoshop equivalent of voice.
Yes.
I think we call that auto-tune.
Auto-shop.
Yeah, basically they just auto-tune Alicia Keys' voice.
The auto-shop.
Change, yeah. Basically,
you gotta bust it down, old
pitches,
singer.
Tones.
You take him down to the auto-shop.
Take him. I think they called it auto-tune.
And,
yeah, I got.
So Regina Spektor is very.
Samey.
Eclectic. Singer and songwriter, and she claims that she doesn't actually write songs and that she never intended to. They just quote come to her.
Bullshit.
She's very flighty, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The artsy fartsy type.
Or they come on her.
God, really?
I'm sorry. We just need this. Need
you
this
really?
Setup. You keep giving them the setups, man.
Really?
You keep just giving me the setups.
You keep softballing.
I think at least I don't use TWSS a lot.
You know what I'm learning? Lot. I think I need to learn to embrace you rather than fight you.
Exactly. That your acceptance would be the lube to make this go smoothly.
So that you can come all over Regina Spektor.
No, the songs came on her. Came to her, excuse me. Sorry. It's amazing.
You see what happens?
Yeah.
You see what happens when you do this?
I'm sorry. So Regina.
So yeah, listen to the song Samson, and if you like it, then you'll really like Regina Spektor, and if you don't like it, then you're better off not listening to Regina Spektor.
That's like the most ambivalent statement I've ever heard. If you like her, listen to her. If you don't, meh.
Peanut butter. If you like it, try it. If you're allergic to peanut butter, don't try it.
What I'm saying is, it is one of those songs that like it will solidify your opinion. Right.
It will make or break you.
Yeah, I think so because she gets really really high pitched on that song.
Oh, okay.
I would have to listen to it. I know.
We're
I know. I'm
like
being
glass shattering.
Now,
or?
It's pretty high, like really high.
Okay.
And speaking of pretty high, moving to the next song.
Okay. This is your number one, right?
No, this is number two.
Two.
Oh.
Deuce.
I was super drunk the first time I ever heard this artist, and I love it. But it's Florence and the Machine. Florence Welch from Florence and the Machine. Pretty current. If you might have heard the song Dog Days Are Over. That song, and I know that on a previous episode I sort of complained about people using this phrase, but it's a jam. It's a total jam. Like,
okay.
It starts really soft and then it just explodes. Like, it just, and then the music just keeps building and building and building and just like overwhelms you.
Yes, Sean.
And really the whole album Lungs is like that.
Yes.
I hate to interrupt Justin, but Sean, bear with me here for a moment.
You love to interrupt me. Don't lie.
Yeah. Well, actually, yes, I do.
Not as
Sean,
much as Sean, though.
You seem to notice that a lot of the artists that Justin talks about, we really don't know anything about. You notice that?
He's been wearing a lot of plaid lately.
Actually, in fact, I'd like to just take this moment, you know, just go on a little tangent myself.
Is this about to be an intervention?
No.
Intervention for having too good of taste?
No. I have a couple quick questions for you, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I feel in the hot.
I'll text
the
camera crew and tell them.
You're Chris Hansen.
All right, let me ask you a question.
You're Chris Hansening me.
No. It's
all alone and interested in sex.
All right, three questions. One, do you own anything plaid?
Yes.
Do you have an appreciation for Pabst Blue Ribbon?
No, absolutely not.
Score
X.
Score is 1-1.
1-1 X.
All right. And the third and final question, probably the most important. Have you ever wistfully looked back after listening to Deerhoof or Animal Collective? Be honest.
I honestly can't stand Animal Collective. It's just a bunch of yelling.
What about Deerhoof?
I've never even listened to Deerhoof. So I think I pass your test. I'm not a hipster.
Damn.
See, if I look back at my life eclectically, I usually use the piano accompaniment from Layla.
Yes, but that's classic rock, and classic rock by definition
that's a good
is
moment
awesome.
Of that's a good time for introspection during that piano part.
I listened to that like right before I went into graduation.
I have that
from
album
Towson.
On vinyl. Uh-huh.
Right before graduation from Towson, it just felt awesome. I'm just like,
did you felt like you'd reached a pivotal stage in your life as soon as you heard that?
Exactly. And
then
no,
as soon as you got
all,
out of graduation,
all serious,
was off.
In all seriousness, like it was definitely like it was that song. Yeah. It played a major role in my life.
Yeah,
I have that album on vinyl, by the way. So
awesome.
Oh, good news! I found my copy of Goodfellas.
Nice.
Oh yes.
So now you can watch it whenever you can.
Hey, Colin, guys, did you know we're recording a podcast right now?
Do you think I care?
So look, the thing is, Colin, I think that you just, your taste sort of stopped at about, I'd say 1999. And that's okay. Like, you're older than me.
Yeah, December 31st, 1999. That's the day the music died to me.
The day the music died.
I mean, I'll admit.
Like, I know you're all about classic rock and alternative rock.
I'll make this.
I love that stuff too.
No, see, I'll make this to you. Having known you for about what, 8 years now?
About 8 years. Yeah.
Okay. I have heard some of the stuff that you've listened to. You have turned me around to some of the stuff released post 2000.
Right.
There are few exceptions to my rule, but to me, most in film, in writing, and in music, everything good came out pre-1999.
Right, and that's because that you are dead inside, and I am vibrant and full of life.
Divorce will do that
and,
to you.
And here's one thing that I'll, like, I'm pretty new
Sean,
in music.
Yeah.
I recently bought an album. Well, we're still talking about music, so it's technically, this is still in subject.
Yeah.
It's just not... You know, he may sing like a girl, but he's still a dude. Coldplay's new album.
Okay.
I heard
one of the songs from that on 89.5.
I just bought it, so.
The single that I heard on TMD
Paradise?
I think it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's very, very good album. It's my criticism, it does sound overproduced. But then again, that's something you have to deal with any new music. But their melodies are still pretty solid. So a couple of songs in there are very, very good.
I don't understand why Coldplay gets so much shit. Like, I don't understand why they get as much flack as they do.
Viva La Vida.
Yeah, well, I like Viva La Vida.
There are good bits on Viva La Vida, but overall, that album
was
deadpan.
It was just overplayed.
Yeah, it's
that's why.
Yeah,
people got sick of it.
No, the thing that I don't get.
Wait,
is
didn't
Coldplay...
Viva La Vida had Yellow on it, right?
No, that was Parachute.
That's bad.
That's way back. Yellow was way back.
No, not Yellow. What am I thinking of?
Are you thinking of Viva La Vida?
Yellow.
What?
Are you thinking of I used to rule the world, seas would rise
that's
when I
it.
Gave them. Yeah, that's Viva La Vida.
I mean, you could not escape. Song was overplayed, but it was a great song.
I agree. It was great.
Like
just
the
first
like
the 80
deep,
times I heard it.
Yeah, it's
just like I still love Rolling the Deep. I still like Viva La Vida. You know?
I'm not saying it's a bad song. It's a very good song.
Okay.
It's just
what I'm saying
it was
is that
played
I,
to
I
death.
I can still hear it. Like I can still. Like,
anyway, the new album, very good. Lost things. I think you would appreciate. Very catchy and like the synthesized stuff. Kind of, it merges in and it's like. the good stuff from U2, like the good echo, like reverberation stuff from U2, without Bono's smugginess.
Yeah, I think what you Coldplay did is they carried the they took the torch from U2 and carried it. Like they're the U2 for the modern generation. Without getting super like Chris Martin, unlike Bono, is actually a pretty cool guy.
Yeah,
he was in Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like Chris Martin gets the joke. Like he's okay with joking about himself. He's like he's self aware. That's what I'm saying.
The dude is married to Gwyneth Paltrow. I don't really think
which
he
is
has
why
a
Yellow
reason.
Was written in the first place.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't really think there he has anything to worry about ever. Yeah.
All right, so anyway, back to girls.
Back on track. Yes, back to the ladies. So Florence the Machine is awesome. If you don't like the singer songwritery type, like I've had some of those on here. It's not that. Like it's rock. It'll rock your balls off. Especially if you're drunk and in a car driving home from a party at like 3 a.m.
Not that we condone that.
I was not driving in the backseat.
Okay, let's reiterate.
I have no idea.
Let's reiterate. We don't condone drinking and driving ever.
Right. Don't
Bully Going Nowhere does not approve drinking.
To be fair
though, in this situation, I also sang along to What the Hell by Avril Lavigne. But that does not detract in any way from my opinion about Florence and the Machine.
Why you gotta make things
it
so complicated?
So, yeah, I'll admit that it doesn't detract from our opinion of that.
It just detracts from your opinion of me as a person.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think you're gonna have to go down to the office in the morning and hand in your man card, because rocking out to Avril Lavigne, we can't have that shit going down.
Why you gotta make things so complicated? Was that like a speak and spell? You're like, why gotta make things so complicated?
Rock, rock, rock. Boom, chaka laka.
All right, and female. Wrapping this farce.
Number
on
one.
Thank you. Number one, probably a lot of you won't know, but Shara Warden.
Yeah, you're right. We don't know her.
So if you go all
Kingsford
the way back.
Colt, never mind.
All the way back to my review of the Decemberist album Hazards of Love, which that album came out a year ago. So that episode probably
would have been about, what, 6-7 months ago?
Yeah.
All right. So if you're playing a drinking game to Boldly Going Nowhere right now, anytime Justin mentions the Decemberists,
take a shot.
We really shouldn't state that. Like, there's kind of I'm pretty sure I mentioned Decemberists at least once an episode.
Yeah, I know. That's why we're saying that.
That's why I'm saying that. Like, yeah, take a shot. You'll be wasted, completely wasted. Anytime there's any music talk whatsoever.
Yeah, it's think of it this way.
Fair. That's a permanent part of the show.
No. Here, think of it this way.
I do like the if I mention the Decemberists in an episode, you have to
take a shot. Yeah, it's if you mention the Decemberists, take a shot. If I mention Big Trouble in Little China, take a shot.
Yeah.
If Sean makes a really shitty pun, take a shot.
Also,
if we mention Michael Bay or Transformers 3, Four Horsemen.
We have to take all shots because we have a moratorium on Michael Bay.
Yes, so we actually, so remember that. If you ever hear us mention Transformers 3 or Michael Bay, we don't catch it, you email us at bgnpodcast@gmail.com.
And we will
take a Four Horsemen on the air.
We will publicly flog ourselves. Oh, also, if That'll Sean sings like Randy Newman, that's also another drink at
yes.
any point. Because
yes.
that happens like...
Or Bob Dylan.
Once a beer, just a beer.
Okay, that's all right,
or
so,
Bob Dylan.
So.
Back to Justin's list. Number one.
So Shara Warden was the evil queen in Hazards of Love, but she has her own solo career and she has a band called My Brightest Diamond, and her voice gives me goosebumps. Like
epic.
So good. And it's unlike, she's like the opposite of Regina Spektor in that she's pretty low. Like she's a pretty low voice for a chick.
Mm-hmm.
But she's done a lot of like, so she did a cover. I'll tell you what to look up. Look up Feeling Good. It's a cover of a Nina Simone song.
Feeling Good?
Yeah, by Shara Warden.
All right, do that.
Looking forward to this.
You're not what? It's amazing. I was listening to it earlier.
It's Nina
what
Simone.
What was it again?
It's a cover of Nina Simone.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
It's called
Feeling Good, Shara Warden. So look that up and you'll understand why she's my favorite singer, my favorite female singer. All right, that pretty much wraps up my top five for this week. And I hope you found that informative and entertaining. So, let's move on to Colin.
which he has a sound effect, and it
goes right about here.
Here. Okay.
Beep. So, obviously, since last week's episode was my top 10 favorite horror films, it'd be rather remiss of me not to mention the top 10 worst horror films. Now, remember, this is my opinion. You don't like it, tough shit.
That's
email
bullshit.
Me. Yeah, email me if you don't like it. I don't really care. BJMpodcast@gmail.com. All right, so starting at number 10. Now, we're just going to go... I'm just going to go ahead and give these two series, because they're going to be my... This could be number 10 and number 9, but this is going to be just a rule. If you're a horror movie series, or I'm sorry, if you're a director of a horror movie series, if you've gone beyond 3 films, stop. Just stop.
Because you're officially a joke.
It's never really gotten any better at that point. Point in case, my number 10 is Nightmare on Elm Street from the second one moving forward.
Right.
Because the first one with Johnny Depp exploding in a fountain of blood, I mean, really, that's the best one.
That's pretty cool. When yeah. Johnny Depp explodes in a fountain
yes.
of blood.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Number 9, Friday the 13th from the third one onwards.
Nice.
Because basically the first one was the best because Kevin Bacon got an arrow through the neck.
You did mention that last
yep.
week.
Arrow, Kevin Bacon connection.
Yes. Then the second one was the introduction of the Jason character. And next one, number 8, Hellraiser.
See, this one, I kind of got to disagree with you, but I do want to hear your own see.
Well, it's just,
hear your case.
I've seen Hellraiser, you know, when I was a kid, and I see it now. And honestly, it's like people have told me that's one of the scarier movies I've ever seen. I'm like, I don't know if it was just I was confused as a child and I just never got it. But that movie didn't scare me then, and, you know, even now, movies that have scared me in the past, I can even look back on with a more laughable, you know, a more laughable.
Yeah, I mean, because you're an adult now.
Right, but even now, I'm still like, what the fuck is going on in this fucking movie?
I mean, I don't think, I agree, I don't think Hellraiser is that scary, but I think it has a cool concept, though. Like, the idea of, like, a puzzle that opens a gate to hell is kind of cool.
Just... If you know the puzzle's gonna open a gate to hell, why would you open it? Just why?
Well, then you wouldn't have a movie.
I'm aware of that. We'd all be better off. Thank you. Number 7. I mean, honestly, my number 9 and number 10 are the reason that, you know, you should really stop. When you start combining characters from long-dead franchises, i.e. Freddy versus Jason...
Yeah.
That movie, I mean, just it's another pile of shit.
I love the part where the black chick is, like, sitting in a waiting room reading a magazine, and suddenly, like, Freddy is just on the page, and he's just like, got your nose. Takes her nose. Cuts her nose off as she's reading a magazine.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
That's...
Good job, movie.
Like, seriously, Freddy, you were better.
Is that what you said during the premiere? And just yelling at the screen?
Yeah, I was yelling at, like,
good job, movie.
Good job, movie.
Anyway, but, I mean, honestly, there are no frightening moments in that film. It's all lame-ass. It's all lame-ass horror movie cliche and bad jokes.
Campy.
Yeah. No, it's not even campy. It's, like, the level below camp. It's camp is at least laughable. This is beyond funny.
Yeah, it's not. This isn't even a camp. This is more like it's like a bivouac.
Yeah, it's a bivouac on Everest while your feet are freezing off. Yeah. So a very poor bivouac, I guess we can say. Yeah. See, number 6, the Feast series.
Oh God, I'm so ashamed to say that I've watched
all
those
3.
Movies.
Yeah.
I haven't watched any of them.
Yes.
I mean, seriously.
I mean, it
beat me with a fire hose.
I mean, I don't want to say it's the worst horror film series of all time, but it's up there. It's without a doubt, it has got the most disjointed plot I've ever heard in my life. I mean, there are like 8 or 9 people get stuck in this backwards ass town in the middle of nowhere. The bartender gets fucked up, and he's, like, one of the main characters.
And they all have these crazy backstories that you're supposed to care about, but it's like, obviously you
but don't. They, like I said, they're so disjointed, they have absolutely no hint of, you know, like, character development. It's just like, here's their story, this is why you should care,
and,
now care.
Yeah, and until...
But I don't.
Exactly.
I would also say that until Human Centipede came along, definitely one of the grosser movies. Yeah. There's a
don't
part,
be the middle.
There's a part, I'm just going to ruin it for you. There's a part where one of the monsters rapes a cat. Like, just a little kitty cat.
Oh, yeah, there's another one where a monster rapes a full-grown black man.
There's a fair amount of rape in this movie. You're warned.
Yeah.
Don't watch them.
One of those things that kind of, I don't know why, it's like one of those few things that, like, if it's this, where the subject matter, if it gets to be too intense for me, I'll shut the movie off.
No,
completely.
You know what the worst part is? You know, even worse than the rape. Actually,
that's why I hate it. That's why I hated Straw Dogs. Because usually, if there's a level of rape, I usually knock the whole movie out.
I'm curious if you know which scene I'm going to say. Should I say it or do you want to guess?
I'm going to go ahead and take a guess, okay? All right. It's the end of the third film.
Nope. But go ahead and say what.
All right. Well, this is my worst moment of the entire series. The end of the third film, which is the last film of the trilogy, right?
Okay.
The majority of the 8 main characters have died off. The 3 remaining ones are the fucked up bartender.
Okay.
The slutty wife of the car salesman. And one of the remaining midget Mexican luchadors.
There are midget luchadors.
Whoa.
There are 2 midget luchadors who are brothers. And one of them was Mini-Me.
Honestly, they're the best characters.
Yeah.
Wow.
But he died. So it's the other one.
Okay.
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 So this is... I'm not going to lie to you, right? That. So they've escaped the monsters at this point, right? They're walking in the middle of some godforsaken desert road, right? And the guy... was it the bartender? He's gotten his neck sliced open at this point, so he's bandaged up like hell. And this dude has basically put up with, like, the biggest amount of shit in the entire film series. But yet he's the one character you care the least about. Because he's just so fucking dumb.
You're supposed to empathize with him because he's like, he's supposed to be the one, like...
the everyman.
The normal character, but...
but he's... no, you can't. Because no one cares.
Okay.
But they're literally walking along, and then finally this old man, because he's like 65. He's old enough to qualify for AARP.
Hey, card.
Yeah. But he looks at...
almost says what?
Yeah.
What?
What?
Anyway, but he looks at the slutty chick, right? And he's like, we're the last human beings left on Earth. That means we gotta repopulate the human race right now. And he tears his shirt open, right? And so when we first saw it, we were all freaking out because we were like, no. But then a robot comes out of nowhere and stomps on the midget luchador and the slutty chick, leaving the bartender by himself. And we were like, what the fuck did robots come from?
Yeah. All right, congratulations. We've managed to spoil the entire series for you, which is a good thing, but that's not the scene I was going to say.
Spoiler alert.
The scene I was going to say.
Oh, no. See, here, I'm not even done yet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because they go through the credits, right? And this mariachi band guitar player is just basically playing a song describing, like, just how fucking stupid this entire series was. Like, literally, that is the lyrics of the song. He's like, literally, this song, it's like, this movie was kind of messed up. There are some dumbasses, biker chicks and all that. If there's not a feast for, don't blame me. Like, who cares? I think we'd blame you if there was a feast for. Anyway, but I'm sorry, what scene was it for you?
The scene that just, it was the worst thing, one of the worst things I'd ever seen. I can't remember if it was in the first or second movie, but one of the chicks... she starts having this, like, fantasy, this, like, sexual fantasy with the guy who plays Frank on 30 Rock, minus the hat, but, you know, that fat dude with the, like, huge sideburns, like, just, like, the really greasy-looking guy.
Wow.
So she's having a fantasy that they're having sex, and he's on top, and suddenly he just, like, starts melting, and, like, green shit starts falling out of his mouth on top of her. And he just, like, starts melting on top of it. That is to me the worst thing in that entire series, because it was, first of all, it had nothing to do with anything. It was just physically nauseating.
See, that's the thing. This movie is fantastic for the fact that half the shit in it has absolutely nothing to do
like
with the plot.
Like a Gushers commercial went wrong.
No, seriously, dude. It looked like the stuff that comes out of Gushers. The green stuff, it looked exactly like the stuff that comes out of Gushers.
And I didn't see it.
Pus.
Yeah. All right. Enough about that.
And it's good for you,
Move
too.
Move on with the list.
You think you're getting spoiled, but it's
good
for
you, too.
Anyway, this next one, I'm going to let Justin soldier this one because I actually have never actually seen this film. Sleepaway Camp.
Sleepaway Camp. I'll be honest, I actually love Sleepaway Camp, but it is so, so bad. And it has one of the like most famous, well, I wouldn't say famous, but it's a pretty well-known twist ending. Because it's actually funny, in an episode of Robot Chicken, they reference that. And then one of the characters is just like, I can't believe someone actually remembered this movie enough to make a joke about it, like, in the episode. It's like, yeah, it was a really obscure movie, but that twist was fairly well known.
What's
so
the twist?
I actually won't spoil it.
Oh.
Because you should see it. But it's basically, it's about a summer camp.
It's about a sleep camp where you sleep away to.
And there's this girl, this, like, orphan girl, who basically just goes nuts and goes on a killer rampage. And I'll just say this girl is not what she appears to be in more ways than one. That's all I'm going to say. The Sleepaway Camp series actually goes on for like 3 or 4 movies, and she gets older. It's the same chick, and she gets older. And the funny thing is, in the last 2 movies, she's actually played by Bruce Springsteen's daughter. Just let that sink in for a second.
Wow. played by the boss's daughter.
But she just
literally goes on this, by the boss's daughter.
She just goes
oh man,
on this
that daughter's not down.
And in one of the movies, there's a
crazy
scene,
orphan in a small town.
There's a scene where she like
she
shoves
killed man in a small town. And all my friends.
One of the victims, she shoves them into a port-a-john, like into a latrine, and makes them get inside the hole. And she's just like, "How does it smell?" And she's like, "It smells bad. It smells really bad.
It smells really bad now."
And then she just leaves her there.
It smells like...
Doesn't kill her, just leaves her in the latrine.
Sweat and shame now.
It's like the one victim she didn't kill. She just left her. Just left her.
Like, you're standing in shit. That's bad enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Now watch while I go murder 12 other people.
Nothing I can
she
do.
She left alone in the shit pile.
But there's...
She's gonna be there for a long while.
Sorry. You done?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah. Sorry.
You sure?
I had to get my Springsteen out.
She's wearing her shit pile now. Oh man, it's stinky.
He dug my dirt.
Yes, indeed.
Dug my dirt, Miss Montan.
Sorry. Sorry.
I would recommend, honestly, I'd recommend the whole series. Like, they're terrible. They're so bad, but there are some really creative deaths. There's one part where, like, she buries a guy in the dirt up to so that only his head is showing, and then she runs over him with a lawnmower.
Right.
That's a pretty good one. She takes, like, I don't know, like a turkey, electric turkey carver to someone's face while they're making out in the car.
Ow.
Not her, but 2 people. She just drops, comes in and just like.
Won't people learn never to make out or try to have relations in creepy areas?
I don't know, dude.
These teenagers need to learn.
So yeah, Sleepaway Camp. Moving on.
All right, next up, the Scream series.
I mean, those movies are supposed to be a parody of horror movies.
Well, see, that's the thing, though. I mean...
Hello, Amy. You're still using a cordless phone?
Hello, Sydney.
You still have a landline?
Well,
you had a cell phone.
Nev Campbell, you're still alive? I completely dropped off of your career after Wild Things.
Oh...
What? I did.
Sad. I don't know how I'm using
no,
this
I'm
phone
agreeing.
With a mask
just,
on.
It's just sad.
Yeah, well, I mean, literally, the Scream series, I mean, it shouldn't really have gone beyond 1.
Yeah.
Then 2 came out.
Well,
and then 3 came out.
Yeah.
Then 4.
Okay. And then...
4 was the last
then,
one, right?
Then they redid it.
Then they redid it.
Well, let's give credit where credit is due, though. Without Scream, we would not have the Scary Movie series. At least the first one was fairly entertaining.
Yeah.
You can't stop the Wayans brothers. They would have found a way.
Yeah, wait, what am I saying? Because of the Scary Movie, we have all the other movies.
Scary Movie. Because of Scary Movie, we have Epic Movie. Because of Epic Movie,
and
we have Date
Spartans
Movie. You made the Spartans superhero
Spartans.
Movie.
Never mind.
Meet the Spartans.
Never mind. Fuck Scream.
Yeah, I know.
Fuck buried Scream.
Why is it on this list?
Buried in the sand and run over it with a lawnmower because it has created so much evil and terrible things in the world.
It is, yeah, it's created far more evil than it could ever assuage.
And hardship and suffering.
Yes. All right. Next on the list, Blair Witch Project. Good God, this movie. I mean, seriously.
So boring.
I know. I think I know why you hated it.
Worst ending ever.
Why?
You threw up?
No. Actually, no.
The shaky camera.
I know you have an issue with the shaky cam.
Yeah, because I remember you didn't sit through Cloverfield.
I didn't see it in theaters.
And you didn't even sit through District 9, which ended up being a really good movie. And the camera steadied out, by the way.
I didn't see it in theaters. That's why I didn't throw up. Yeah.
But seriously, Blair Witch, is there a more boring horror movie? And the fact that they tried to pass it off as a true story.
Actually, yes, there is.
Is it the next one on the list?
No, actually, it's Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows. Yeah, they made a sequel of Blair Witch.
Talk about that.
Didn't like every single person in that fucking movie die at the end?
I didn't see
once,
the second one.
I mean
in the first one.
Right. I didn't see
everyone
the
died at the end,
no
didn't they?
No one saw the second one.
No, I mean I'm not referring to the second one. I'm saying at the end of the first film, everyone was
everyone
dead.
Died,
so how
but I'm saying no one saw the second one anyways.
The movie industry right now is like a bad gambler. Like they'll win once, they'll win really big, they're up, and then all of a sudden they'll put in money again. They'll keep gambling until they totally lose, and they need this stop when they're good. When the series is good, when you have that one movie that makes money, and the second one never makes as good as the. It's historical fact.
The movie industry, they need to listen to Kenny Loggins because he's the gambler.
Yes.
Sorry, Kenny Rogers.
Yes.
Kenny Rogers.
Don't listen to Kenny Loggins.
Good chicken. Yeah. Good
no,
chicken.
Unless listen you're to Kenny Loggins. Highway to the Danger
Fantastic
Zone.
Chicken.
Highway to the Danger Zone.
Or you could listen to Kenny Loggins if you want to be footloose. Footloose.
That's true.
Footloose. Kick off your Sunday shoes. Or also, if you want to feel alright, don't nobody worry about me. Caddyshack theme.
Actually, he's got a lot of good hits.
Yeah, he actually does. I'm surprised he
this
wasn't on your top
episode.
Five male. I'm surprised he wasn't on your top five male list.
Well, don't be.
No, I'm really not. But okay. Anyway,
continue.
Right, I'm done.
Next one up is let's see, number two. Number two is the Leprechaun. Leprechaun especially.
The Leprechaun.
The Leprechaun series. But Leprechaun especially.
The very first movie looks like it was like a college project. Like,
which it probably was.
Like the quality is worse than even something like that we would do.
Yeah. But to be fair,
In the Hood is probably my favorite.
To be fair, I'm still gonna say
which one? Leprechaun in the Hood or Leprechaun Back to the Hood?
One with Ice-T.
Back to the Hood.
Back to the Hood. Okay. The one Back to the Hood.
Yeah. But I'm not gonna lie, the best moment of that entire series, Nostalgia Critic did actually mention this, but it is true. Best line of that entire series is when the little kid is like the fat dude's getting fucked up by the leprechaun, by Willow basically.
Kaya.
He's getting fucked up by Willow basically, and then out of nowhere, the little kid's got like a four-leaf clover, which is apparently like his only weakness. Like, he, you know, wraps it up in a piece of gum or something and then, like, as he's about to launch the thing at the leprechaun, the kid pulls out, like, the best one-liner ever. He's like, hey, Lep! The leprechaun turns around, he's like, what? He's like, fuck you, Lucky Charms! And hits him right in the throat with it. I'm like, yes!
Fuck you, Lucky Charms! Look you that, and your breakfast
like they
cereal.
Said, like, seriously,
sugar.
Like they said, that was cosmic. You couldn't get a better one-liner in a Schwarzenegger film.
Certainly better than any of the one-liners.
And the whole world,
but
turn the ice.
Yeah.
Death by stereo.
Everybody, chill.
That was the best one-liner in that fucking movie.
That was what they thought was the best one-liner.
No, that was the best one-liner.
Which is saying a lot.
Yeah, I know. Because right. I know, but yeah. And my number one, Silent Night, Deadly Night. I say the series because apparently this is true. I only know of one and two, but apparently there were more made.
Oh, joy.
Oh. Right?
But let me put it this way. Let me tell you how bad this series is. The first movie came out and did all right in the theaters. I mean, it didn't light the world of cinema on fire.
Right.
Basically, it was about a guy. Two kids, and their family gets killed, so they get sent to an orphanage. The nun's really evil, so she always just punishes them, and that fucks them up. And so basically, the older of the two boys, goes on a killing spree dressed as Santa Claus. That's the movie. That's the first movie. Now, the second film, which is invariably the worst of the two films, if that's even possible, mostly because of the fact that the second film, 40 minutes of the footage of the second film, right, is footage from the first film. They didn't have the decency to go out and shoot another film. They just took 40 minutes of the last movie and tacked it on.
Hey, remember that time that thing happened last movie?
Well, yeah. Here, we'll show you right now.
It's kind of...
Hey, remember this scene? It's okay,
this
you don't
movie.
Have to.
So what about the sequel? Is it like the first one? Well, yeah, it's the first one.
It is the first one, basically. Well,
maybe a few bonus scenes.
But, I'm going to make this... I mean, I'm going to make this play.
They do that with video games. Yeah. It's like an expansion pack.
And they add like two scenes. Yeah,
it's not an actual sequel. It's just an expansion pack.
All right, but let me put it this way.
Bungie. That's all I got to say about that. Anyway.
There are two plus sides to this film. And I'm going to mention those and I'm going to go ahead and end that. Two plus sides of this film. One, the rampage scene towards the end of the film is by far the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's supposed to be serious, but it just comes off as stupid as hell. Like, literally, he's like, it's like him and the girl he's supposed to be falling for run into her old boyfriend, and he basically taunts the kid, who, you know, the psycho. And so basically, the psycho basically grabs him, pushes him to the hood of his car, attaches the jump leads from his car to his tonsils, and his head blows up.
Scanner style?
No. And so the girl sees this, and like literally what she does is she turns him around after she's just brutally murdered somebody, and she says, "I hate you, Ricky. I hate you. You killed him. Why would you do that?
You bastard."
Right? I was like, okay, so let me get straight. Your brilliant plan to express your feelings at the moment is to tell a vicious homicidal killer that he's an asshole. Wow, you are brilliant. And she was blonde, so I mean, it's a given. But
she threw away all the W's.
Let's not resort to stereotypes.
The M&M factory.
Stereotypes exist for a reason. Anyway, so she got killed about 10 seconds afterwards because he didn't take the comments too well.
Right.
He ended up just strangling her with the cord from the dude's car.
That hurt my feelings.
Actually,
Take this.
No, that's the funny thing. She's like, "I hate you, Ricky, I hate you." And he's just, and like literally... They clip in clips from the last movie where the nun's like berating him. He's like, "Punishment is good." "Very naughty."
"Very naughty."
"Punishment is absolute." No, literally, these are lines from the movie. Adverbium. But like, no, here's the best part, right? The look on his face right before he goes after her. Like literally, his eyes cross. And he's like, "Punish." Just like one word, like he just reverted back to Cro-Magnon, right? No, and the funny thing is, she sees him do this, and her response is, he's like, "Punish," and she's like, she just stands up, she's like, "Uh oh, he's not gonna do anything. Uh-oh. Oh, I'm getting choked alive. Oops, I didn't see this coming." Basically, then he just starts walking along. And just, you know, and then, what was it? He walks up to somebody's house, right? And then some random cop, like something out of Barney Fife, he's just like, "Freeze, asshole."
"Freeze."
He like literally just comes up and is like, "I'm going to go ahead and put these cuffs on you. Don't move. You know how to use this?" It's like, you know how, it's like, he basically just like, he's like trying to threaten him, but like the guy's just like. So finally, halfway through, he's like trying to slip the cuffs on him. He just grabs the gun and blows his brains out.
That expression was priceless, and it fit into the audio podcast.
Yeah, I just
very well.
On how you were like, and the guy was just like this, and then you made a facial expression.
Like this.
If you want to see this rampage for all it's worth, it's on YouTube. Just look up Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 Rampage, and see the hilarity. But I'm coming up to the second part now. All right, there are two moments in the Rampage that are just so priceless, I have to bring them up. One of them is Garbage Day. basically, he's gotten a gun at this point. Now he's just walking around offing people as he sees them, right? Uh-huh. He just sees a dude put a garbage can out in the end of the street, and he just, as the guy looks up, he's standing there with the gun, like, garbage day! And the guy's like, what? No, bro!
Garbage day!
Right, the guy looks up, and he's just like, gun, and he's like, no! Doesn't even attempt to run away.
Blown
he's just
away.
Like, no! Hands up, blah! And he shoots him. Guy's got like, nobody in horror movies has any sort of sense of self-preservation. Do you ever notice that?
I would have used the garbage can lid as a shield.
Or something like that.
I mean, it still wouldn't have helped because that hand cannon.
Shield.
But at least that, like, it's something.
It's something that would have slowed the bullet.
Yeah.
Shield.
Would have been as lethal.
Yeah.
Right?
Shield.
Shield. Anyway.
I mean, this was like a Dirty Harry style, like, Colt Python or something. It was, like,
it was pretty epic.
Gun.
It was pretty epic. It was a 357.
You know what this gun is? Yeah. It's overcompensation for my penis. Yeah.
But anyway. The next scene, which is by far the funniest scene in the entire film.
One of them shoots bullets.
The funniest thing in the entire movie is this next part where he's walking down the street, right? This Pinto rounds the corner going at full speed, so about 40 miles an hour. It's just barreling down the street, and he just gives the most epic evil laugh of all time. And it literally goes something like...
Wait, can we all do it at the same time?
Okay, ready?
Three.
I'll count to three. One, two... Three. Like you'll know the part when you get up to it, but seriously, it is by far and away the funniest evil laugh and the best evil laugh I've ever heard in my life.
Warning, if you have a sensitive mentality towards Pintos,
you might not want to watch that part. Because basically what he does is as the Pinto's driving towards him, he starts firing off rounds at the Pinto. The Pinto veers off course and he goes, "Bingo!" And here's the thing.
Yeah.
The Pinto's hurling at him, so then they cut to a wide shot. The Pinto tilts, and the dude moves out of the way just as the Pinto tilts off in the direction. So that dude must have been like, holy shit, I thought he was actually going to stop. He like literally just missed getting hit by that car.
Yeah, it's very dramatic.
And then the Pinto rolls and actually rolls back on its four wheels and then explodes.
Of course.
Proving once again
not a well-made car.
No, not at all.
All right, well, that was a good list.
It is a good list. So if you want to see the hilarity that is the Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 Rampage, go to YouTube, look up that.
Yeah, scenes from pretty much all these movies, you can find the best parts on YouTube so you don't actually have to watch
the films.
Entire movies.
Yeah.
All right, well, before we end the show, just take a minute or two to talk about some boring stuff. It's not boring. It's exciting. It's a special time.
Exciting.
Change is good, guys, and exciting changes are coming. You know, you're going to start noticing hair and wrong talk.
No, yeah, we've hit that point. Actually, I think we're about a year and a half ahead of you, dude.
Yeah. Well, I think I might be going through second puberty.
It's podcast, not puberty.
Yeah.
Podcasterty.
You mixed the dictionary up.
Pubecast.
Yeah. Potterty.
Pubecast.
Pubecast.
Get stuck in your teeth.
It's gross.
Colin's expression is priceless.
It is priceless. It's priceless because we can't possibly describe it. So the big change that
when
is
you need
coming,
a camera, where is it?
Yeah,
never.
Big change is coming. Is actually, Sean, I'll let you explain it.
Okay. BS Reviews has ceased to be in terms of its own.
This podcast is no more.
It is no more.
It has ceased to be.
Ceased to be. So
the last episode we'll upload on there. If you have any, if you think anything's racist, like if you got offended at what, what's his name from 30 Rock, black guy?
Tracy Morgan?
If you thought what Tracy Morgan said on Twitter and you were awfully offended by that, and you usually get offended by things like that, don't listen to this episode, this last episode, because...
Of BS Reviews,
of BS Reviews.
Yeah. But seriously, do listen to it, because it's hilarious.
BGN is going to go on record saying, listen to the episode, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
As long as you're willing to take a joke, you know, and not and no, it's not out of hate, it's out of love.
It's out of love.
It's out of love.
So...
And if you have a hatred towards Dell's tech support.
Yeah. So basically,
definitely give it a listen.
Basically, BS Reviews is coming to an end, but as they say when God closes the door, he opens a window, and Sean and Ben are climbing through that window into our
studio. into our
It's a bad analogy.
Studio. Yeah.
Basically, what we're doing is
come through my window, I'll be home. Down on to the podcast, don't you know? All
right. Anyway,
a lot of singing in this episode.
Yeah, I know, right?
I know. It's a musical. It's a musical episode.
But anyway, so basically, what's going to happen is Sean and Ben are going to come on as official co-host. I mean, Sean has been an official co-host for at least the last couple of the last 10 episodes, I think.
Yeah, basically since the middle of the summer.
So. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And so Ben from BNS Reviews is actually going to be coming on as a permanent co-host. And so they're all going to be going under the Boldly Going Nowhere podcast. Now, those of you who are fans of just the Sean and the Ben and Sean banter, hope is not lost for you yet, because what's going to happen is we will record one episode as we're going to the two-episode format, like we said.
Possibly even three.
Well, I'm going to get to that just now. What's going to happen is we're going to record one episode with the four of us at the beginning of the week. You get your Boldly Going Nowhere fix. And then what's going to happen is we're going to give two more episodes on the same day. One's going to be Boldly Going Nowhere, the original format, Justin and I, top five, top 10. The other episode is going to be the BS review of Ben and Sean,
which they will also sit on you guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll sit on from time to time.
We can sit on time from time.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll also have a domain name, which we'll later announce.
Yes.
As soon as we find the domain.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's going to be the really exciting part, is we're actually going to be a legitimate operation here.
Legitimate.
Because we'll have our own website.
We're
going
to be legit.
Some form of studios. That's all I can give away right now. It's some form of a studio name. That way we have everything under one roof. And
I'll give you one hint.
Yeah.
Wilson.
Yeah. Wilson. There's one hint.
Wilson.
All right.
Wilson.
Ben's over here in the corner cracking up.
Clue. Yeah. So, as the update schedule gets solidified, it'll become more regular. But until then, I'd really suggest that if you don't already do this, you should subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe through whatever RSS service you like, iTunes,
Zoom.
Probably get up on Stitcher.
Because of the fact that we are combining our efforts now, we will be relaunching the Zoom marketplace. We will be relaunching the iTunes feed as well to include all of our information.
Yes, and soon we'll have our own website where we'll actually be able to store a lot more stuff, so we won't have to like only have like 10 episodes at a time on there. We can put up the entire series.
Yeah. And it's a lot larger bandwidth, and the domain name is key, because I know how you guys are like .podomatic. It's kind of that those extra letters are hard to memorize and type in.
Right. And so we'll have a really nice, you know, legitimate sounding
Sleek sounding website.
Yes. Yeah.
And so also, once we have all the old episodes up, the people who have sort of jumped in recently can go all the way back to the beginning and listen to how shitty Colin and I were for our first couple episodes.
Actually, I have a suggestion, if you may. First time, only the first episode goes on from each of ours, and then as a complete contrast is what it was then and what it is now.
Yeah. But we really have come a long way with this thing.
Actually, the funny thing is, I still have our test episode from 2009.
Is that the one we were sitting in Rusty's basement?
That is the one we were sitting in Rusty's basement. We're sitting there. He's got his computer up. We have our headsets on. We literally had just bought them at Radio Shack 5 minutes before we started recording this.
And you have that?
We're awesome. Sitting there, basically. We're sitting there. We're watching Rusty, Taylor, and what was it? Rusty, Taylor, Ben...
Steven was there.
And Steven Coella. And we're Alex. Watching them play Super Bomberman.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's amazing.
We're just,
also, someone put a kitten on top of my head. I remember that.
Yes, that's right. But I have that test episode. You can really tell that we were just like, the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, we didn't know what we were doing at all.
But we can also put up the first episode when we actually thought we knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
Right.
And yes, you can hear the difference as to how god-awful we were then.
Yeah, I mean...
versus how god-awful we are now.
But it's a different kind of...
You should put it under like a box called preschool or something.
I mean, it's pretty
like a little kid kitty.
Yeah, like it'll be like
first, boldly going nowhere.
Beginnings.
First podcast.
It's like when your kid draws a really shitty drawing and you tape it up on your refrigerator.
The refrigerator. That oh, perfect.
It's our refrigerator drawings.
Refrigerator audio.
So, but it's pretty amazing though, like how much this show has changed because. Like we've gone through completely different formats. There was a point where we actually did news, like we actually read news headlines every week.
Yeah, I remember listening.
What was it news headlines?
We had regular segments.
Back to the Blast from the Past, which Blast from the Past actually just used to be this day in history. We would just basically read events from this day from the particular date in history. Whereas now it's basically I go back and I review an old movie.
Yeah,
which I feel is far better because.
I have the first recorded when we originally had the idea of BS reviews.
Yeah.
Have originally recorded it with my iPhone, and we were recording. We were watching Hole in the Wall, like this this game show where people have to match this hole in the wall, and we're just commenting on it, and we're both laughing like how it's horrible. So I'm gonna put that up there on the.
I think that's what we're gonna do. I think what we're gonna do is we're gonna put up the first three episodes. The first three being the test episode of me and Justin, yeah. Our first episode of Boldly Going Nowhere, and then the first BNS podcast review.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we can sit here all day and wax nostalgic, but we've talked
for
long
it's
enough,
an hour.
So let's wrap this up. And yeah, look forward to some new changes coming next week after we put the two most recent episodes up.
All right.
So until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakavas.
And I'm Sean Holmes.
And we are Boldly Going Nowhere.
Outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production.
Be sure to check us out at Facebook and Twitter at BGN Podcast or email us at bgnpodcast@gmail.com.
Once had a podcast in a small town. Yeah, yeah. Social networking in a small town.